I think the most important take-home point is not to panic or to fear right now. More data will come out against Omicron, but I think we will be certainly prepared to take it on at this point.
Welcome to the Hartford Healthcare Podcast. In this special episode, we take you to today's media briefing, November 29th, 2021, where Hartford Healthcare experts discuss the new COVID Omicron variant, which appears to be emerging on the world stage. They will address COVID fatigue, the potential efficacy of current testing, vaccines, and treatment toward the new variant, as well as current COVID statistics in the state of Connecticut. Here's Tina Verona.
All right, everybody. Good morning. I'm Hartford Healthcare's Tina Verona, Director of Media Relations. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning. I know you probably have a lot of questions about Omicron, this new variant that we're seeing. So we've assembled our team of experts to answer all of your questions and to give you first a brief update on their thoughts and preparations, if any, that we're making at this time. So we have with us Dr. Ajay Kumar. He's our Chief Clinical Officer here at Hartford Healthcare. We have Dr. Ulysses Wu, Infection Prevention here at Hartford Healthcare, and Keith Brandt, APRN, Senior System Director of Infection Prevention. So Ajay, I'm going to turn things over to you first for an introduction.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to have everybody back here, at least for the wrong reasons, unfortunately, with the COVID pandemic, but it's nice to see you guys again. So regarding the COVID status, I'll go through the details about what we are seeing in Hartford Healthcare, what's happening in the state to a certain level, the positivity rate, and then we'll talk about the Omicron as well, about how we are thinking about it and planning as we go forward. So let me begin with saying that as expected, we are seeing increase in COVID numbers in our hospital system and acute hospital, as we expected as the temperature gets cooler. We had anticipated some increase in numbers. We are at this morning 137 patients admitted across the Hartford Healthcare among all the hospital. Just as a comparison, on 19th of November, which is just about 10 days ago, we had 78 patients. So there is definitely an increase in number of COVID patients. What has not changed is the type of patients who are coming in. These are generally unvaccinated individuals. We have about 74 to 75% of the people who are in the system, acute hospital, are unvaccinated. The remaining are vaccinated. Those who are vaccinated may not be coming for COVID symptoms. They may be coming for different reasons, such as fall or fractures and things like that. So the number of patients who are coming with COVID symptoms who are vaccinated still remains very small. Just as an FYI, we have more tools in a toolbox right now with monoclonal antibody, remdesivir, understanding about how the disease course takes place. We are seeing improved outcomes, especially those individuals who are vaccinated. Largely, everybody's making a good recovery, and folks are responding very well with the monoclonal antibodies as well, which has been given in all acute facilities in Hartford Healthcare for the right type of patient. Now, with this detail, I'll go through some of the specific number in the regions, and then after that, we will open the discussion about the Omicron. In Bacchus Hospital, we have 24 patients admitted today. Charlotte Hungerford has 19 patients who are COVID positive. Hartford Hospital has 39 patients. Mid-State Medical Center has 12 patients. St. Vincent Medical Center has 15 patients. Hospital Center Connecticut has 20 patients. And Wyndham Hospital has 8 patients. Out of 137 patients, we have 21 of them are in ICU, and the rest all are on managed on the floors today. Those in ICU, out of 21, 16 of them requiring ventilation, and rest all being monitored for with different means at this time here. Age group hasn't changed. We are seeing generally those vaccinated individuals who are elderly or individuals who have immunocompromised status. The folks who are unvaccinated generally on the younger side, we are seeing those. So that demographic has not changed from the what we had seen before as well. Now let's switch gear to Omicron, and I will have Ulysses and Keith Grant comment on that. One thing we need to know, we all need to know, is not to panic. We know what to do. We've learned quite a bit in the last 2 years managing the pandemic right now since March of 2019, what works, what doesn't work. We have more tools in our toolbox to manage the patients. We are better prepared as a system, as a hospital. We have stringent safety measures in our acute and other facilities at this time here. So we feel very comfortable and confident to manage as where we are right now, whatever is to come. Now I'm going to pass on to Ulysses Wu to talk about what we know about the virus, the variant, and what we don't know at the moment. And I'll have Keith Grant talk about any changes in our thinking regarding the policies and procedures and how we are thinking from an infection prevention perspective. Ulysses?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I agree with everything that Dr. Kumar has said. So right now, Omicron is obviously the new variant that is a variant of concern that has arrived from, and we shouldn't really name geographic locations, but I'm going to say South Africa at this point because it seems to share some similarities to Beta. And if I don't know if you remember Beta, but that was the what I affectionately termed the OG variant from South Africa, which was the 1351. And so what we know now is that there are several dozen mutations, probably up to 50 mutations, and then with possibly 30 up to 30 on the spike protein at this point. It's important to know that because the spike protein certainly can have a say in many factors, including transmissibility. The proteins itself could evade the immune system as well as evade detection as well. The one thing that I strongly would like to urge that Dr. Kumar has said is that we should not panic. And it is definitely a variant of concern, and it is something that we are certainly watching. But we have to remember, there is a variant out there right now that is really doing a number on us, and that is Delta. And so we should be worried about that variant because that is the one that is present. Keith is going to speak a little bit about this later, but it's not going to change anything that we do because we are still fighting a variant right now with the best measures that we have. And so a lot of other variants have popped up since Delta. As you can tell, there's a lot of Greek letters between Delta and Omicron, and some of them have really not panned out in terms of the next variant to worry. With regards to this, again, probably likely increased transmissibility, but the symptoms preliminarily seem to be more mild and seem to be appearing in younger people as well. So even though it may be more transmissible, which may lead inevitably to more infection and possibly more deaths, the infectivity seems to be more mild at this point. The way to fight this, and it's still going to be about 2 weeks before we find anything 1 to 2 weeks before we find out more about this with regards to medications, vaccine efficacy. The best way to fight this is exactly the way what we're doing right now, which is vaccines and boosters. Even if it is not 100% effective against Omicron, the vaccines or the boosters, it's still going to be partially protective. The analogy I like to use is, well, the flu shot is never 100% protective against the flu, but does help modify the course of the disease if someone should get the disease. So right now, the key is still vaccination and it is still boosters. And actually, we have to remember that variants usually arise out of transmission. And the more transmission we have, and we know that South Africa has a low vaccination rate, the more transmission that we have, the more likely variants are going to pop up. So the only pathway out of this pandemic still remains vaccination as well as masking and to a certain extent, social distancing. The last comment I'm going to say is that kudos to South Africa for discovering this early and letting us know early as well. So people are saying, well, South Africa is getting hammered, travel's not allowed, investment's going to decrease and so on and so on. Without them having full transparency, we would not have caught this early. And I think it is very important that we all recognize that because we don't want countries obviously hiding their transmission numbers and possibly other variants as well. Right now, I don't want to say only, but I'll use it in air quotes, about 100 cases have been detected, the majority in South Africa, but in other African countries, some seen in the UK, Israel, Hong Kong as well. So that is the clinical update on Omicron. I'm going to pass it over to Keith Grant.
Hi, guys. Keith Grant, Senior Assistant Director, Infection Prevention, Hartford Healthcare. I agree with everything Dr. Kumar and Ulysses says regarding the clinical picture, regarding the updates from the epidemiology perspective as well. the thing, what I would add to it is, you know, a lot of questions we've gotten is, you know, what are we supposed to do? One, as an individual within a community, as institutions, as families, what are we supposed to do in hospitals and so forth? You know, when over the last few months, what we've been concentrating on is how do we develop a system that is able to not react, but is able to be in a level of constant preparation for a change in variant, a change in mutation, and so forth. And, you know, regarding the current Delta variant, which we know and we realize really quickly that is very contagious, when compared with the Alpha variant, the processes of mitigation is the same in that you appropriate social distance when necessary, be aware of your symptoms. If you have symptoms, get tested as soon as possible and get vaccinated when it's available. It's readily available across the state, across the country at this point in time. Consider boosters if you've been vaccinated greater than 6 months. And what I will say as well, the appreciation of the impact of actual masking. So masking is still probably one of the most important initiative for us to communicate, not just to ourselves, but to our loved ones and to our community. The other thing that I would add to this conversation is, you know, there's a lot of conversation, or a lot of questions as to what the expectation, what is our expectation and our primary concern as it stands right now. For us, with the data that we do have, and, you know, Ulysses definitely comment if I'm misspeaking, but with the data that we have, the biggest concerns we have is that actual mutation that's happening on the spike protein. There's much more data we would love to have to speak definitively on this as to how this will impact immune response, how this will impact effective antibody reaction acquired from vaccinations in the near future as well. So much more data to come. There's more data that we're waiting on from a Hartford Healthcare perspective. We're very confident in the processes we've implemented. It's done very well, not just within our community at Hartford Healthcare, but throughout the community at Connecticut thus far. And we'll continue to look at data and see how we need to pivot. No processes within the hospital system will be changing at this point in time. We'll continue to monitor. We'll continue to ensure that we're delivering high quality care in the safest way possible. That's all I have to add at this point.
Thanks, Keith. We do have a lot of questions coming in from the chat. I just want to just ask a question or just maybe make a statement here is that coronavirus is here to stay. And it we can equate this to the flu is that every year we see different strains of the flu. And this is to be expected. Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Keith. You go.
So, yes. And Ulysses, you know, again, not to compliment Ulysses so too much, but this is something he said from, this is months ago. Like he's had this exact, this has been the basis of his conversation. The process of the mitigation strategies to include the vaccines is not to eliminate the COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 virus, but to create a virus, a process where we're okay with living with it. Right. In that, you know, individuals a few months ago, if you know, I spoke about this many times. My grandmother is very close to 90. And a few months ago, if I get a phone call that she potentially has COVID-19, based on the data and the epidemiology, it could potentially be a death sentence. At this point in time, with the mitigation strategies that we've realized and implemented to include vaccinations, she has a better chance of survival. And that's where we are in appreciating what this disease has done and the mitigation strategies we have in place. But most importantly, it is not, as Tina said, it's not something we expect to be eliminated by the brushstroke of vaccination or any singular strategy. But cumulative effort will get us into a better place. And I think even with the advent of this new variant, with the process that we have in place, we're not in a bad position.
If I could comment on a few other items and the questions which are coming through, let me make some broad comments here. You know, we are much better prepared as a scientific community to tackle this new variant than ever before. Just as an example, within the first detection of this Omicron in South Africa, 100 samples were analyzed within 36 hours of that time here. So the scientists have much more advantage right now to tackle that. Pfizer and Moderna has released statement that looking to reformulate the vaccine if needed at this time here. Now, there are two types of data we end up waiting. One is the lab data, one is the clinical data when we decide the efficacy of the vaccinations and all that. We hope the lab data will be available within a week or 10 days, and the clinical data generally takes a longer time to determine whether the vaccines will be efficacious or not. It is too early to comment specifically about the vaccine efficacy or what this Omicron can bring. The earlier results coming from South Africa has been somewhat of a mixed bag. It is considered more transmissible than the previous variant, but we don't know the effectiveness of the vaccines at the moment precisely. Generally, the at least in the small sample size, which has been reported out of South Africa, if the folks actually have boosters and fully vaccinated, the disease runs a very mild course. So going back to Ulysses' earlier point here, vaccines remain the mainstay of the treatment and the protection at this time for Omicron as we go forward. Now, a lot of questions, Karyantina.
Yeah. Thanks, Ajay. That was for addressing Mike Massaro from NBC Connecticut, his question about the efficacy of the current vaccines. Yeah. I do want to make sure we stick in order here so that the media has a chance to ask their questions. So Nick Ronanone from First Connecticut Media is asking, given testing and sequencing, any idea when we might be able to flag Omicron cases in Connecticut? Is there a delay?
You know, the state has done a good job in the state of Connecticut to manage the genomic sequence. State sends a sample out. They do it in the state lab and a few other places, so Jackson Lab and CT and CDC, to look at the samples. And we would know as soon as the state knows any Omicron. As of this morning, we had no knowledge of any Omicron virus circulating in Connecticut, at least. And the genomic sequencing does take its time. It is a laborious and time-intensive process. We will know, hopefully, as soon as the state comes to know on that part here.
Question from WFSB. Is there any concern that Connecticut's healthcare workers may be experiencing burnout, especially as they prepare to deal with the Omicron variant?
I think there's a concern about the rest of the society. Actually, our entire society is feeling a bit of a fatigue and exhaustion with the pandemic right now. So bigger concern is that are we going to be complacent with Omicron coming forward right now? Healthcare system, we've been watching. We've had a lot of information about the staffing and other challenges. In Hartford Healthcare, we are well prepared. Our teams are resilient. Our teams are working hard. And we have enough supplies of PPEs and other supportive structures to support our colleagues as well. But this is something we think just as much as you're asking, Angela, about individual who's asking at this time about the burnout. I'm hoping this is not going to break anybody's spirit down. It would make us more resilient as we go forward. So we'll watch together at this time here.
Angelo Bavaro from Fox 61. Can you talk more about Omicron having a large number of mutations? Why are those so concerning when it comes to vaccine efficacy?
Maybe I can pass to Ulysses on that.
Yeah, and I'm just going to touch base on Dr. Kumar's excellent point with the last point. With regards to the fatigue, if you want to look at a silver lining with Omicron, hopefully it will reinvigorate our battle against COVID in the sense that, you know, I think people were tired of hearing about the Greek letter Delta at that point, and we see the relaxation. So if there is any silver lining that is to come out of this, I am hoping that this will renew our spirits actually to fight against it. Now, with regards to the mutations, so approximately a few dozen mutations, probably up to 50 with 30 on the spike protein. It's still too early to know with regards to immunizations and the vaccine, whether or not it's effect against those. But if science holds true, and I do believe this to be true, that even if it is not 100% effective, it will be somewhat effective at the very least. Now, the beauty of the mRNA technology is that it actually allows for very quick adaptation. And so I mentioned beta in my previous talk about this. And so scientists have already studied beta and have already come up with a potential vaccine against beta. And so I think that can be quickly modified within the period of a few weeks to a month to fight Omicron if that is the case. But even if that is not the case right now, any vaccination and boosters should provide some protection against this.
Question from Tracy from the Waterbury Republican American. Dr. Wu, can you tell us more about what you said about Omicron potentially evading immunity and possibly detection? Does that mean that our tests will not be effective in detecting the disease?
Yes, so that is always the possibility with any variant. We do not know this right now, but with a certain amount of mutations, when we look at mutations, we look at certain things, how it can affect it. One is obviously testing. Another is ability to infect, or its ability to spread. Another is its efficacy against things like immunization, which I just talked about, and other things like medications, efficacy against it as well. So it's too early right now to tell, but there are some mutations that could allow it to evade the immune system and could allow it to evade testing as well. I don't believe that to be the case at this point, but like I said, it's pretty early.
Another question from Tim Lammers, Fox 61. Can you break down the concerns about vaccine effectiveness with Omicron to talk about A, how well it may escape the vaccine's ability to prevent infection at all, versus B, how well it may escape the vaccine's ability to prevent severe disease and death? What has the severity of known cases been like?
So I'll just say with regards to it, so far cases have been mild, and Dr. Kumar earlier mentioned that those who have been boosted or those who have been vaccinated, they have also had mild disease. As far as I know, there have not been any deaths right now, but there haven't been that many cases due to Omicron. So I will keep reiterating the mantra that any vaccination, regardless, is going to help to a certain extent. Even if it ends up being 30% effective or 10% effective against Omicron. But right now, any vaccination that you have or any booster akin to the flu shot will provide some modicum of protection. And we have to remember that the vaccines work not only via production of antibodies, but stimulation of our B and T cells, which are second and third lines of defense. If you're a football, if you like football, it's basically our linebackers and our safeties at this point. And so if they get through the defensive line, we still have our linebackers, we still have our safeties that are still going to provide some sort of protection.
I have a question. Are we likely to see, as we continue on, the fact that we may need another booster next year with different variants coming out? What does that look like? Or do we know?
Go ahead. Dr. Kumar, all you.
I think it's too early to tell, given what the sequencing and some more information comes back about the Omicron and response to the vaccines. Scientific community will make decisions and advise accordingly. I think it's too early to tell right now. We should wait another 10 days or 15 days before we have that answer.
All right, Tracy from the Waterbury Republican, do you believe that the new mutation, if it comes to Connecticut, we all should wear masks indoors?
Keith, you want to take this on?
It's a difficult conversation to have because we've had discussions about how do we get back to as normal as possible. And I think individuals, we have to be comfortable and responsible to make individual risk assessments. I think within the healthcare system, obviously, we're going to keep the course and encourage masking throughout. I do believe if you're in a situation where you believe at all that is poses any form of risk and you have a mask available, you should be wearing a mask. But I think it's at this point in time, it shouldn't be based on the current Omicron. It should be based on what the current prevalence is. And the prevalence in Connecticut has certainly gone up. If you talk about hospitalizations at this point in time, a month ago to the date, we had 55 patients in the system. We have 137 system patients right now that's getting care at Hartford Healthcare, the majority of which are unvaccinated individuals. And some individuals are in the critical care unit, and the vast majority, over 90% of those individuals, are unvaccinated individuals as well. So we know the efficacy of our masking. We appreciate the efficacy and the impact of vaccines. So at this point in time, I think all changes should be based on our current epidemiology and less of a concern of what that variant is.
And we do know that indoor transmission is much more than outdoor transmission. We've always known that. And to really keep it simple for people, if you're indoors around people that you don't know, that are their vaccination or their sick status, just wear a mask. Very simple.
You know, and I know with, obviously we're in the holiday season, holiday parties, gatherings coming up. What are your thoughts on that at this time?
I think our definition of parties might be vastly different. I think if you're having, you know, as Ulysses says, if you have a group of individuals that you know well enough that you could trust your health with, then, you know, there's decisions that you have to make. I would say, as Ulysses said, the easiest way to put this is if you're in a space that is not individuals from your household, your first option should be to wear a mask.
All right. Our next question comes from Eliza Fawcett from the Hartford Current. What is known at this point about Omicron and how it compares to Delta?
So, go ahead, Dr. Kumar. All you again.
That's okay. I just want to reiterate what Ulysses already said. We are still learning about this virus at the very end. We will have more information as time go by. The only thing we are concerned right now is the increased transmissibility. Delta was pretty up there in transmissibility. So we will see how this one comes out from scientific perspective.
All right, our next question comes from Brian Hallenbeck from The Day. How much more do you realistically believe we can drive up the vaccination rate in Connecticut and nationally?
You know, our team is generally a very optimistic team, and we would like to believe that we would have a very good, strong vaccination in our state, at least. Really difficult to comment in the country because there are different variations within our country from where you live. But I think Connecticut has done a pretty good job. And I think with the new renewed focus and some more concerns about the Omicron, I'm hoping the more individuals who are on the sidelines will ask questions, make informed decisions, and do the right thing. And those individuals who choose not to vaccinate, we respect their opinion as well. And we are here to support and take care of the individuals who, whatever the decisions they make for their healthcare situation at this time.
Our next question comes from Alex Putterman at the Hartford Current. How have COVID treatment protocols changed in recent months? What are the criteria currently for receiving monoclonal antibodies?
Ulysses, you want to take this on?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Alex, I'm going to need a grade on my analogy. So please give that to me if you want to put that in the chat box. So right now, treatment modalities, there's a couple pills that are going to be coming out, possibly that could be game changers, though some of the data on one of the company's pills may not be as efficacious. But from a monoclonal antibody standpoint, we just hope that when somebody is diagnosed with COVID, that they come to us early. And so if they come to us early, it has to be within a certain time period, and they have to, for the most part, be eligible. And so what is that eligibility? Well, age certainly contributes. Comorbid conditions can contribute to it. Like I said, time is going to be a factor. And so for the most part, we have been giving monoclonals to a large majority of people who have been either asymptomatic or minor symptoms, mild symptoms with COVID. And so here at HHC, we're certainly ready. If anybody has been diagnosed with COVID and doesn't meet requirement for hospitalization, we certainly can treat you with monoclonals if you meet some of those conditions.
Question from Tracy, the Waterbury Republican American. Are we concerned that mutations on the spike protein, because that is what the vaccines target to ramp up the immune system?
Correct, Tracy. That is one of our concerns right now. But as Ulysses stated, and Dr. Kumar alluded to as well, we're still away from getting enough data for us to be conclusive on that statement. We're still learning a lot about this new variant. But if there is to be a concern, that is one of the primary reasons to be concerned, is the spike protein having that much mutation.
A comment from Tim Lammers. Dr. Wu understands how I think in sports metaphors. Thank you. We know that. Tracy, a follow-up question. What role do you believe tests, especially rapid tests, will have in holiday gatherings?
So I'll talk about that for a little bit, and probably a little bit more than a little bit. So I think people are very comfortable with two things. And we had a good meeting this morning with a number of our team members to discuss this. So there's we have to appreciate that, you know, testing does provide some information within this moment. However, there's an incubation period, right? So even if you're testing negative, which is a good thing, you test negative and you're going to go get with your family as well. But please still be aware of, you know, any symptoms or development of any symptoms. Also be aware of like vulnerable individuals around your family and around wherever you're getting together. And the reasons why, things to look for, is the majority of our patients right now are over 65. The majority of individuals that have breakthrough infection are over 65 or individuals with significant comorbidities. So although testing provide that pretty significant information, but it's just within this moment in time. So use that, you know, sense of responsibility to constantly assess yourself as a risk and individuals around you as well. So I agree, it will be very helpful. It should be very helpful, but it provides for some individuals a false sense of security. And I just, that's the one thing that I'm fearful of.
Tracy, wanting some clarity around the, about the tests. If someone is infected with Omicron and takes a PCR test, will we know or not know if they are infected? Your analogy score is an A with me.
No. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's too early to know right now. I think we will be able to pick up Omicron with traditional PCR testing, but it's just too early to know.
Yeah. So keep in mind the tests that were used for the most part in South Africa are traditional tests for the most part, very much like the test that we use here at HHC and majority across the country. So the question is whether or not it'll be 100% with its sensitivity and specificity. So its ability to truly detect 100%. And that's, we need more data to say that. But it shows that just based on the data and the technology they had, which is very similar to what we're using right now, they were able to find out that something different was going on.
I don't see any other questions in the chat. Dr. Wu, I think your analogies are a big hit. I think it's provides clarity and it's easy for people, at least for the media to understand and therefore the general public to understand. So I think when you talk in those terms, I think it's definitely helpful. Tracy has a follow-up question. Does that mean that we could have people infected with Omicron and not know because of the testing questions?
Tracy, I don't think that would be the case. I think we have a fairly good understanding about the traditional testing has detected the Omicron. Obviously, we'll learn more, but that's, as per our understanding, we don't think they would escape the testing at this time.
Okay.
And I do want to comment on that really quickly. Keith gave a very salient point. It doesn't change anything we're going to do. HHC is prepared for Delta, which is still present. We have to remind everybody that is still present, or Omicron, which is coming down the road. We are prepared to take on the virus because we have been taking on the virus. So it's we still have the protective measures in place to protect everybody. And if they are coming in with COVID-like symptoms, we are still maintaining a high suspicion for COVID.
Okay, with no other questions, it's time for final thoughts. Keith, let's start with you. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I think Ulysses just summarized exactly what I would like my final thoughts are. You know, it's good that we're in a space that, you know, and comments and compliments to South Africa and the team that's there, that detection globally, awareness about a new virus happens within days to weeks right now, a new variant. And it gives us an ability to prepare if necessary. But you know, the mitigation strategies that are in place for hospitals, for individuals, for institutions, for communities, and for families to ensure that they're safe, mitigations such as proper social distancing, individual risk assessment, wearing the appropriate PPE, vaccination to include boosters. Those mitigation strategies at this point in time, we believe to be most effective and will continue to support and provide those as much as possible. Again, we'll continue to provide information as much as we get updates through many sources to include working with Tina and her team. And we'll continue to look at the data from an epidemiology perspective, look at our policies, and with one primary commitment is to provide high quality care in the safest way possible at HHC.
Thank you, Keith. Dr. Wu, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think the most important take-home point is not to panic or to fear right now. Like I said, there's been a lot of Greek letters since Delta. And we keep forgetting about the OG variant, which is Delta, which is still present. We are still maintaining our fight against that. More data will come out against Omicron, but I think we will be certainly prepared to take it on at this point. But in order to fight the original variant, which is Delta, we need to keep doing the same things. And I know people are fatigued, but we have to remember this is a marathon, and we are at mile, let's just say 12 at this point. And we're never going to win the marathon by stopping at this point. And so we have to reinvigorate our fight against it. And that means vaccination. That means boosters. That means testing. That means masking. That means not engaging in risky social behaviors that will lead to increased transmission, because that is the key going forward from here on out.
Thank you, Dr. Wu. And last but certainly never least, Dr. Kumar, final thoughts.
Keith and Ulysses covered many of the points here. I do want to remind everybody, we are better prepared now. Our scientific community has a better understanding. We're reacting faster than with new information than ever before. And I would say Hartford Healthcare and other systems across the state of Connecticut have led this pandemic fight very well. I think our state has sound policies. It support with governor's mandate. Governor's discussions has been around that so far. And I think we practice medicine in our state with a focus on safety and preventing loss of life and suffering. We are going to get through this. It's not time to panic. This is time for us to be aware, ask questions, and be ready for living as normal life we can live given the challenges we have right now. But certainly, everybody can count on our healthcare system, Hartford Healthcare or others in Connecticut at this time.
Great. Thank you all. And thank you all for joining us. And we've assembled our team of experts, as we always do, to allay fears, to really talk about this new strain that we're seeing. And you've described it so eloquently. And of course, as Keith mentioned, stay close to us. We will continue to have media briefings as necessary when we have information to share with you, and just to keep you apprised on any changes. So stay close to us, and we will be in touch with additional media briefings. And thank you all for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you.
For the latest information on COVID statistics and access to vaccination and testing, go to hartfordhealthcare.org/COVID. Be sure to follow and share the Hartford Healthcare Podcast for the latest news on a number of important health topics. Just search Hartford Healthcare on your favorite podcast platform. For Hartford Healthcare, I'm Anne Rhonda Pierre. Thanks for listening.